If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Vegas, baby, Vegas, episode number 6, week 4 in the National Football League. Ross Tucker, the former journeyman, mediocre offensive lineman. How's that for a self-intro? Steve Fezzik, the two-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football betting. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. You can follow Steve on Twitter. And if you're looking to make money like a lot of you are, he'd be the guy to follow with what he's done so far. At Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K Sports. RossTucker.com is always going to be the hub for all of these various podcasts. We also have the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast, for those of you that are into fantasy football. If it's your first time here, you can also always go to RossTucker.com. That's where all the feeds for any way you'd want to access a podcast. If we don't have it, let us know via Twitter, or you can hit up the official podcast Twitter handle, at RTF Podcast. You can also always get an email read on the pod if you support the podcast via PayPal. So if you have a question that you got to get answered by Steve quickly or me, just do it via PayPal. We'll get it up right away. And Amazon is another great way to support the pod if you need to buy something and are so inclined. Last week, my man Steve had a week. Now, I will say this, Steve. By the way, Steve, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Ross. Glad to be here.
Yeah, Steve, you're better than good, man. Yeah, you were up 13 units last week. 13 units. So if you listen to this podcast and you mortgaged your house and spent every dollar just on Steve's bets, well, congratulations on your new house. We're really happy for you. 13 units. He won 3 on the New York Giants. He won 3 on the Bengals, Tennessee over under. And I think the key, Steve, was you just had a lot of 1 and 2 point wins, and you didn't have any big losses. It was just a very steady, workmanlike performance by you.
And let me go ahead and issue a warning to everyone. If it was like that every week, I wouldn't be on the Ross Tucker broadcast, because I would be on a beach earning 8% and kicking back. So I'll give you more winners than losers, but it's certainly not going to be as easy as it's been the past 2 weeks.
But that's how it works, right, Steve, is that you're going to have good weeks, you're going to have bad weeks, but the whole net-net is that you finish up. Now, just out of curiosity, for an NFL season, what would you consider to be a success? I mean, if you're up 1 unit, is that, hey, I made money, or do you have to be up how many units for it to look like, okay, I can do this for a living, or, you know, this is worth my time?
Yeah, no, I do it for a living, so 1 unit is an absolute epic fail. I'd be much better working at McDonald's. A lot of it, though, you got to remember, I can make some bets that I can't give out because the numbers disappear very quickly, or only available one place. So I should be, on my own bets, I should be up a couple, like 20 units would be a decent NFL season. That'd be a reasonable goal. Having said that, I'm, knock on wood, I'm having a monster year. I won 11 straight days in football wagering, which never happens, Ross. So I'm running good.
That is awesome. Well, I was up 3 units myself, Steve. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, me tripling down on them just was an epic failure. That killed me. The Packers really hurt me as well. That really surprised me. I thought the Packers would perform much better offensively than they did. How about this, though, Steve? I got to share this story before we get into this week's bets. How about me? I won 6 units on the Seahawks and the Broncos. I had the Seattle giving 5.5, and I had the over-under, both of which I had the over on the over-under, both of which I hit because of overtime, and in part because of the overtime rule where you need to score a touchdown, because with the Seahawks going down to score a touchdown and win by 6, I won by 0.5 point. on giving up 5.5 and then also pushed me over on the over-under. So I'm up 3 units basically because of overtime and arguably because of the new overtime rule, which I've been spending all week criticizing, but now I'm thrilled with now that I realize that that's why I made money this past week. How, I mean, that's gambling, isn't it?
It, absolutely. The end games are crazy. And Ross, if you got a bigger national following than I do, if you can have them change the college football overtimes, one tweak that's necessary in the third overtime, let the first team that scores a touchdown go ahead and kick. Just make the second team go for two. That would solve all these 7 overtime ridiculous games.
That's really interesting. I had never thought about that part of it. That's a, you know what? That's a really good point. I don't know that anybody ever thought of it that way. Let's get into this week, though. What do you got, Bri?
All right, Ross, first up tonight, New York Giants at the Washington Redskins.
I'm going to be there. Steve, I'll always show you the line I'm seeing. If you have something different, let me know. I'm showing the Redskins laying 3.5 to the Giants, and the over-under is 46. You know, the road team has been getting killed in these Thursday night games, which really tempted me to take the Redskins. But I think this is a toss-up game. I really do. I thought the Giants looked really good on Sunday. I think it's a toss-up game. They're getting 3.5 points. I'm going to take the Giants, but just one unit. It's my only one-unit bet, but just one unit, I'll take the Giants.
Yeah, and Ross, you bring up a good point. The Thursday night teams have done well. The home teams, it makes sense. They basically, both teams with a short work week and the other team having to travel, that becomes a little bit more difficult. I'm not going to give the Giants much credit. The last 2 weeks, they've really been in great spots because they caught Arizona, Drew Stanton, great spot for them. They lose, and then they catch Houston in a great spot where Houston had played in Oakland the week before, 2-0, fly out to the East Coast. My power ratings have Washington as the clearly better team. And they do have double revenge. I really want to be on Washington, but I want to lay 3. The line is 3, and like I said, 3.5, 3.3, meaning it might bounce down to 3. I am waiting and hoping to lay 3. I got to pass at 3.5.
Steve, let's talk about travel. We got Miami at Oakland, but not at Oakland. It's in London.
Yeah, we got Oakland went ahead and flew out there, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. They've been out there all week. Miami's flying out, I believe, on Friday. So different philosophies of how to prepare for this game. Of course, both teams have the bye week after this game. Lots of problems internally with Miami, with Tannehill. He's going to be the quarterback. What is this about talking about? Maybe he shouldn't be the quarterback. I have a rule with the Oakland Raiders. There's one team I've never been able to make money with. It is Oakland. When Oakland has a winning spread record, I don't care what my power ratings say. I refuse to bet on Oakland. And when I look at the game, I certainly lean to Oakland, and that made it an easy pass.
I'm going to lean to Oakland as well. It's been a mess this week with the Miami Dolphins and this quarterback situation. And also, I think, Steve, I'm not 100% on this, but I think that the quote-unquote home team, they make them go out there Monday or Tuesday, at least early in the week for all the different festivities. You know, because I know St. Louis Rams have done that, the Jaguars have done that, and I think the away team has the ability to come a little bit later. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's the case. What did you say you were showing for the line?
Line's 3.5.
Yep, that's what I have as well. I'm going to put 2 units on the Oakland Raiders. I think they've got a really good chance to win the game. And so anytime I think that it's a toss-up game or I think there's a team that has a chance to win it and they're getting more than a field goal, I'm going to take them. So I'm going to take the Raiders getting the 3.5 points as well. I'm going to put 2 units on that.
Ross, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears.
Right. Packers have been one of the more disappointing teams in the NFL. I think people would look at this and say, well, you know, the Packers are probably due to bounce back and play better. The Bears' secondary has been ravaged by injury, and the Bears' back-to-back road night games. And all that might be true. But for the Bears to be the home underdogs in this one, I really don't understand. I think that this is probably an even game, maybe even edge to Chicago the way they're playing right now. And you're going to give them 1.5 points. So I'm going to take the Bears – getting the point and a half. The over-under is 50. I'm not touching it.
And we're going to butt heads on this one. My power ratings agree with you, Ross. I've got Green Bay 3 points better than the average team. The Bears 1.5 points better. So at the home field, that would land the Bears should be the favorite in the game. I really think the Bears back-to-back phony wins. I think that they were given a game by the Jets, and San Francisco just stopped playing in the second half. With all those injuries on the Bears, they're really banged up on defense and on offense. Green Bay owns Chicago in Chicago. Part of that, I think, is that the Packer fans are, you know, are such great fans. They travel down there, mitigates the home field advantage. I know that the Bears have revenge for getting knocked out of the playoffs by the Packers the final week of the season, but the Packers have revenge in many ways also because, you know, Aaron Rodgers got his collarbone shattered when they played in the first game. And I look back at the end of the year, Green Bay was laying 3.5 in this game at Chicago when Rodgers was completely rusty. I know that they looked terrible against Detroit, but at the end of the year, Green Bay needs this game. And at the end of the year, I really think Green Bay is the playoff team. Chicago isn't. And with all the incentive, I'm going to go ahead and put a unit on Green Bay.
Steve, what are your thoughts about the Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans?
Yeah, well, I can't ding the Texans too much for their loss against the Giants. That's what happens in the NFL. I think six teams looked really good week one, and they all fell on their face week two, except for the Texans, who looked great against Oakland. And they look great week back-to-back week, so they had their stinker. I'm going to go ahead and give them a pass on that. The game was windy in Buffalo against San Diego, so that really caused it to be lower scoring. As far as power ratings, I'm supposed to be on Houston, and this is just a gambling thing I try to do. I hate laying 3.5. Houston's laying 3.5, total 41. It's so hard to win laying 3.5 because you can be up 10, dominate the whole game, and win by 3 after the back door. I'm going to pass.
See, that's interesting because the line I'm seeing, Steve, it has Houston laying 3.
Yes,
by the way,
actually,
what happens, Steve? Can you refresh my memory what happens if it's a push? I mean, I know what happens if it's a push in Vegas. You just lose your the VIN or whatever, the VIG?
Yeah, but you don't lose anything. You just get your money back.
Oh, okay. So they don't make any money?
They make no money when it lands on the number, and some sports books actually like to deal games on the half point, and because for that very reason.
Wow! Yeah, so I'm gonna go with what I'm showing, and that is the Texans giving 3. I'm taking the Texans. I think the Bills that we saw against the Chargers is a more accurate adaptation of what that team is, especially at the quarterback position. So I'm going to take Houston for 2 units. I'm also going to take the under. What do you have as the total? I have 41.
41 is good.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. This feels like a 17-14, 20-14 type of game. I've got more faith in the defenses than the offenses in this one. So I'll put 2 on the under as well.
Ross, let's talk about the Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts.
No, let's not, because I'm passing this one. I'm not taking the Titans. I don't care how many points they're getting. I think I can easily see Indianapolis winning by 10, but I'm also not going to take the Colts if they're given 7.5, because kind of what you just mentioned, Steve, how you hate when it's, you know, laying 3.5. I don't want to lay 7.5 either. And for the over-under, I've got 46, which feels about right to me. I don't have a strong feeling, so I'm going to pass this game altogether.
And I'm going to pass on the side, although I do think we've talked about teaser bets before. If you want to tease the Colts down from 7.5 to 1.5, that's probably a good bet, and I'll tell you who to tease them with later. I like the over in this game. The Colts gave away a game against Philly because they started to run the ball too much at the end of the game, and I saw against Jacksonville. I loved what I saw. They got the big lead. They went for the throat. They kept throwing the ball with luck. I think they do the same thing here. So over 46, I'll put 1 unit on that.
Steve, how about the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Carolina Panthers?
Boy, you know, beginning of the year, I had Carolina and Dallas rated as two of the worst teams in the NFL. And I was sure looking silly when Carolina started 2-0, but I think they've absolutely regressed. As far as the line on this game, it's another one where it's 3 to 3.5. You really could find either number. So if you like the favorite, you can lay 3. If you like the dog, you can take 3.5. Have Baltimore rated just as a slightly above average team, very slightly. Carolina still have 2 points worse than an average team. And so my power ratings are screaming, I got to make a big bet on Baltimore. I'm just going to make it one unit -3 on Baltimore. And the reason being is that Baltimore's played 3 straight divisional games. So it's not a good spot for them. Although Flacco's great at home, especially early in the season, 1 unit Baltimore.
I'm not really sure what happened to the Carolina Panthers on Sunday night, but it's enough for me to pass this game, you know, because I don't know if Sunday night is when Pittsburgh really beat them up front on both sides of the ball. That had been the strength of the Carolina Panthers up until that point. Yet in comes Pittsburgh, who hadn't been that great up front, and they pushed the Panthers around. I mean, I'm watching Steve McClendon get sacks on Ryan Khalil. I'm watching both running backs for the Steelers go over 100 yards. Now they have to go on the road. It's a revenge game for Steve Smith and the Ravens. I just don't know if Carolina is going to go back to the solid defensive team that they were the first 2 weeks or if they're going to play Sunday night. So to me, when there's that much uncertainty, I'd rather pass the game altogether. But one thing I would never want to pass is PokerShop.com because it's your one-stop shop for all your poker and game room needs. They offer one of the widest selections of poker chips on the market, as well as a variety of playing cards and game tables. If you don't need any chips or cards, but you're still looking to spruce up your man cave, they offer a wide selection of decor options from lighting to mirrors and even pub stools. They also have some really, really cool licensed NFL gear that you guys should take a look at, and college football for those of you that are into that. PokerShop.com for everything you need to make game night a great night. You supply your friends, they will supply everything else. Live it, love it, poker. And remember, as of last week, we actually have our very own discount code for those of you at PokerShop.com. 10% code, put in Ross at the bottom of the shopping cart. Again, 10% Ross at the bottom of the shopping cart.
Ross, moving on, Detroit at the New York Jets.
Right, and I like the Jets in this one. I mean, I know Detroit had a good performance the other day against the Packers, and maybe that's where this line's coming from, but I didn't think that the Jets were that bad against the Chicago Bears. I thought that they just had a couple of costly turnovers. They had a bad officiating call that went against them, the fumble at the end of the first half. They're home again. The Lions, you know, coming off a hard-fought division win over the Packers, maybe riding a little too high. Their one road game this year at Carolina was an absolute disaster. I think the Jets win the game. So if you're going to give me a point and a half, which is what's happening right now, the Jets are the underdog getting a point and a half, I'm going to take it. I also think, though, the way both these defenses have played, that this is going to be a low-scoring game. You know, you can't count on, you know, pick six like happened or the fumble. So I'm going to take the under. I've got the over-under at 45. So I'm putting 3 units on the Jets and 3 units on the under. I'm going big on this Lions-Jets game on Sunday.
And I don't even know why you need to have me on when you got Ross, because he summed it all up. Hey, last week the Jets were laying 2.5 against the Bears. Now they got a comparable team and a better spot for them, and they're getting 1.5 points. I agree completely with Ross. I'm just gonna—I'll shake it up a little bit. I'm gonna put 2 units on the Jets. I'm gonna put 1 unit on the under, and I'm gonna do a 1 unit correlated parlay because I think a low-scoring game helps the Jets here. So we're gonna parlay the Jets to the under. We'll risk 1 unit to win 2.6 units on that parlay.
Steve, what about Tampa at Pittsburgh?
What about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? All righty. And by the way, Ross was saying how he lost on that game on Thursday night. And I can tell you, during live wagering, I started betting Tampa when they were getting 14.5 in live wagering. And I tried again at 21.5. And then I gave up as Atlanta just destroyed them. I'm supposed to be on Tampa here. as a professional gambler, when a team gets crushed, I know I'm going to get their best effort coming back, but my power ratings have Pittsburgh way higher than the 7.5-point favorite they are. Total 45, I pass.
Yeah, for this game, it's that same 7.5 number, which I just don't like. I just, more than a touchdown, that's too many points for me to lay, and I'm not taking the Bucks, and I don't know what to expect on the over-under because I don't really know what the Pittsburgh Steelers are. Kind of the same thought process that I had for the Carolina Panthers. Sunday's game kind of threw me for a loop with both those teams. So I'd rather let it sort out a little bit and feel like I have a better sense of who these teams are before I put down any money on them.
Ross, new quarterback in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles. They're in San Diego.
Correct. And it's 13 points that the Chargers are giving the Jacksonville Jaguars, which I guess it's too many points to give up. I mean, the way the Jags have played lately, I'm like so tempted. It's Blake Bortles' first start out there on the road. I'm excruciatingly – in fact, you know what? I'm putting one unit on the Chargers. I'm not going to go big on it, but I'm putting one unit on the Chargers. They do have kind of a ball-controlled style. They don't put up a ton of points because they possess the ball so much. So it's not really conducive to beating a team really badly. But I still think they beat the Jaguars by two touchdowns. And I'll believe the Jags are going to be competitive when I see it. So with the Chargers giving up 13 points, I'm putting one unit on the Chargers. I'm guessing, Steve, you're going to tell me, A, I'm an idiot, and B, that nobody ever bets on the team that's given up 13 points in the NFL.
You're certainly not an idiot. may not be the best move here to lay the 13.5. Let me tell you why you don't want to lay 13.5 with San Diego. The look-ahead line on this game at the Westgate, formerly the Las Vegas Hilton, was -9.5. So if we liked our Chargers, I know there's been a quarterback change for Jacksonville, but if we like San Diego, we should have laid 9.5 last week, not laid 13.5. And so that's enough normally to land me on Jacksonville, but you know what? I have Jacksonville rated the very worst team in the NFL by a lot now, -9. It's hard to get a rating of -9. I don't bet on teams that are -9s, although I like the idea of making money with less than playoff caliber NFL teams. I don't want to try to make money with the worst team. I pass.
Steve, how about Philadelphia at San Francisco?
Right, and with that game, the line is 5, and it's dropping down to 4.5 in some of the sharp places, and with good reason. My power ratings still have San Francisco 1.5 better than Philly, but they might be wrong here. The spot, though, is better for the Niners in that they really need to right the ship here at 1-2. Philly flying high at 3-0, a little bit of a phony win. Really, in back-to-back weeks, they certainly could have lost to Washington. They could have lost to Indy, and they don't need the game, and San Francisco really needs it. Of course, I'm worried about Harbaugh and all the internal problems that has been reported with him and management. And the biggest problem I have with San Francisco and why I just cannot play the Frisco here is because before the year started, all the bettors, the professional bettors, bet the Niners under 11 wins, under 10.5 wins. In other words, they knew this team was going to have problems before the season started. Now we've seen the problems. They've been outscored in the second half 52-3. I don't want to be looking for a team like that, but I can't back the Eagles off back-to-back, you know, somewhat fortunate wins. I got to pass.
I'm with you. You know, the Eagles' offensive line, total shambles. The 49ers are really in shambles. So that makes it very difficult to predict what's going to happen in this game. I don't like this game from a betting perspective. It makes me uneasy. I think the Niners are probably going to win the game, but I'm not going to give the Eagles 5 points, that's for sure. So I will be passing on this one.
Are you passing, Ross, on Atlanta at Minnesota?
I'm not. You and I are going to be there. I'm surprised the line is only 3 points here. I know it's outside and not in the Metrodome. Brian, you and I will be there calling the game for Sports USA. Looking forward to that. I got to go with the Falcons, though. I mean, they're given 3 points, but no Kyle Rudolph, no Adrian Peterson, Teddy Bridgewater's first start. I know Mike Zimmer has done a nice job against elite quarterbacks like Drew Brees, like Tom Brady, and like Matt Ryan, but I still got to think the Falcons, they had extra time off after playing on a Thursday night. I think they win by more than 3 points. And worst case scenario for me, I push and they only win by three. I know that's not worst case scenario, but at any rate, I'm taking the Falcons 3 points. And I'm going to go the under. I don't think that they're going to score that many points because of Mike Zimmer's defense. I don't envision Teddy Bridgewater and the Vikings scoring very many points in his first start. So I'm going to put 3 units on the Falcons laying 3, and I'm going to put 2 units on the under in this one.
And I'm with Ross on the total. I'm going to put 2 units on the under. I agree. Whenever I see a rookie quarterback, I always think under, just because it's drilled into them. Don't lose the game. Be a game manager. You know, trust your team. And they tend to be very conservative, especially early in the game. You see these first quarters go under like crazy. I know that Matt Ryan looked like absolute world beater against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but this Viking defense, that game against New England and Brady, they really played fine on defense. It was all turnovers that generated points. 47 is a high number. Got to go under here.
Steve, Sunday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and, you know, I really think the Saints should be 3-0. If you look at live wagering, I know everyone talks about, oh, they can't play on the road, and they certainly can't play on grass. Well, you know, they had that Atlanta team beat. They had the ball, the game was tied, and they fumbled as they were driving to you know, kick the game-winning field. It would have been the game-winning field goal. Cleveland, they're running out the clock. They can't get one first down, up one, and somehow they go into prevent defense and lose. So, in many ways, they should be 3-0. And if they were 3-0, they'd be laying 6. They wouldn't be laying 3 here. I don't like the Cowboys at all. And one of the reasons I think you got to watch the games, the Rams killed the Cowboys. They destroyed the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys won, but the plays that happened in that game, you can't even imagine what went on. Like at the end of the half, the Rams are driving to go up more, and they fumble on their final drive, and then the Cowboys get a 3. And then even the end of the game, they're down 3. They sack the Cowboys on the 5. Oh, there's a defensive holding call. And then when they get the ball, they don't have quite enough time left. There's a turnover. The turnover the Rams had at the end of the first half, their center, Ross, their center, he in a shotgun, he snaps it 1 yard. I've never seen that before. Bottom line is it's a phony win for the Cowboys last week. The Saints are a lot better. They're going to kill them. 2 units. Saints minus 3.
I'm putting 3 units on the Saints. I mean, Austin Davis just totally lit up this Cowboys defense. Now Drew Brees is coming to town. Sunday night game. There's still something wrong with the Cowboys offensively. They're still not quite the way they should be. I think we're starting to see the real Cowboys defense. Give me 3 units on the New Orleans Saints as well.
Ross, Monday Night Football. New England Patriots at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, and at Kansas City, night game Arrowhead, that does give me a little bit of pause. Plus, the Chiefs have played better 3 weeks in a row now. But there's also something about the Patriots and bouncing back from poor performances. So I'm just going to put 1 unit on the Patriots. I know they're laying 3.5 points. But I think they'll win. I think they'll probably win by about a touchdown, 10 points. So I'm going to put 1 on the New England Patriots to win the game, laying 3.5.
And I'm going to land on the under for a unit. I think that as part of a pro bettor, I'm supposed to identify teams that have changed their MO. They're different fundamentally this year than any other year. The New England Patriots are an under team. They're ball control. Brady can't throw the ball down the field. He doesn't trust his other receivers, and he doesn't trust his O-line. He only throws to his primary receiver. He's locked down on him, and he only wants to throw to Gronk and Julian Edelman, and Gronk is not 100% versus what the Gronk I saw before. And that defense is playing better than it's ever played. So we're going to go under. Bonus pick this week, a teaser. We're going to take Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. They're both laying 7.5, and I'm going to take the extra 6 points and lay 1.5 for my one prop bet. That's a teaser bet, 1 unit on those two teams.
Well, let's get to one email. We haven't done an email in a while, and there's some interesting questions that people ask. We got this little sound, a little Ask Ross, Bri?
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question?
And Steve.
Well, here's your chance. It's time to Ask Ross.
And Steve. The email address, rtfp@rostucker.com. Please put even money in the subject line. If you want to make sure it gets read right away, just make a contribution to the podcast via PayPal. This comes to us from Ben Aiken, Steve, in Austin, Texas. It's for you. Love both the new podcasts. My question is, why does Vegas set some lines at a fractional number and some lines at a whole number, considering that a whole number can result in a push, something I would think Vegas would want to avoid? So Ben Aiken from Austin, Texas, is basically asking something that we already discussed, but I still don't understand why they wouldn't make sure that they never have a push.
Sure, and it turns out some of the numbers are so important that Vegas, they love to just make them all half points, but there are games where a team is favored by three is the most extreme example. If they set it at, if they put New Orleans at -2.5, they wouldn't ever take a bet on Dallas +2.5. They get nothing but one-sided action laying the 2.5, and that game's a bad example because it is going to go to 3.5. But in other games that are a solid three, if they make it 3.5, people would take the +3.5. So they would actually be giving away really good wagers to both sides. So they're aware of it, and they'd rather deal it on the half point, but they got to deal a number that they get balanced action.
That'll do it, by the way, for week 4 edition of the Even Money Podcast. Keep riding with Steve, baby. Although Steve and I were sharing a brain on the Jets and the Saints, which means you should probably head for the hills in the opposite direction. I'm kidding. The way we're doing right now, I'd say go for it. We will be back next week. Please do us a favor. Spread the word about this podcast via social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, at RTF Podcast, at Fezzik Sports. We do appreciate those of you that make any kind of iTunes rankings or comments as well. Good luck, everybody. Hope you win some money.
Thanks for downloading today's Even Money Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off the MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these 3 easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.